Are you in uncharted waters? Well, today on Wednesdays with Willa, we're going to be discussing how to handle uncharted waters and what happens when we want to venture out beyond the so-called known into the unknown. For those of you who are joining me on my podcast for the first time, this is a weekly show that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. I also make sure to upload it onto my YouTube channel, and you can also find me on blogtalkradio.com/LilyDaleRadio. So this is an opportunity. I many times have special guests on the show, so I encourage you to look back in the archive videos of the show and enjoy, because this is year five. So for the last 4 years, I've had great shows with great topics, great guests, and we typically are talking about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, and more. So I am delighted to make that accessible to you on my Facebook page and on my YouTube channel. And I encourage you to look at the coming events for the show. So I've got some wonderful topics. You're not going to want to miss them. So like and share and follow. So today, as I said, we're going to be talking about uncharted waters. One of the inspirations for this particular show episode is that my children and I are studying a few different facets. And when they start to converge synchronistically, I say, aha, this is something for me to understand and know better and share with other people. So one of the things that we are studying this year is explorers and history. And right now we are on Henry the Navigator, and we are going into the understanding of what it takes to go beyond the known shores of your country and expand into the unknown waters. So for those of you who need a little history lesson, I'll give you that briefly, and we're going to talk about how this relates along with some of the other things that I'm pulling in for today. So that if you're going through perhaps having to navigate divorce or death or grief or changes in life or physical residence moves or other kinds of moves or illness or literally the unknown, this may be of inspiration to you. Now, in terms of history, Henry the Navigator did most of his navigating, if you will, in the 15th century, in the early 1400s. He was not the firstborn prince of Portugal, but he was, I believe, three down the list, and he knew he wasn't going to be inheriting the crown, but he wanted to do something that would really help his particular country. And Portugal, being placed right next to Spain, it has a long coastline of the Atlantic Ocean. And so they would look out over the West, and they started to realize that beyond the shores of their particular country lay what was referred to at the time as the Sea of Darkness. So the Sea of Darkness was feared by sailors because they did not know what to expect. They heard horrible stories about boiling hot waters, the end of the world, that you would just sail right off the edge. They didn't have an understanding of the geography that we do today. So through many of the explorers of the day, not just Columbus, but many others, we have the map of the world we do today, increased by, of course, other radar and satellite imagery that we have going on. But back then, it was considered a fearful thing to go out onto the seas. Along with sea monsters, and the potential of being just swept into whirlpools and never being able to get back to shore. Now, if you've ever been at the shore of the ocean and looked out over it and just thought, what would happen if I got caught in the current? I mean, they have those signs when you go to certain beaches about the riptide and the currents that are going to pull you away, and the danger of the rocks, and the danger of not being strong enough to swim back to land. And that is something that we all have symbolically at different points in our life. There seems to be the sea of darkness before us, be it the changes that are going on in our life, or death, or grief, or illness, things that we don't feel prepared for. And we feel that our ship, even if we were to take it out onto the water, might get just dashed. And the probability of success or survival is low, and it can sabotage us with our thoughts about going into other spaces. So Henry the Navigator knew that in order for his country to survive and to for the world of trade to be what it needed to be, he needed to go beyond the shores of Portugal. And he decided that he would build beautiful ships that could traverse the ocean and go down the coast of Africa so that he could trade with different trading centers, and spices were really important, and various things that they could try to get from lands of India that would come to Africa. And so he actually set up a school of navigation. And he tried to make this a very successful endeavor. There were 14 expeditions down the coast of Africa. And every time, you know, he would go through the expense, he'd say, okay, guys, you really going to sail with me and go all the way? Or, you know, you're going to with the captain, and are you going to do this? Oh, yes, yes, we will. And then they'd get so far and they would want to give up. They would want to turn around. It was too hard. The fear of the unknown was too scary. And this happens so much in our lives, but back then we didn't have the ability to go mayday, mayday, SOS, I need help from my ship. So they would always turn back until a man by the name of Gil Eanes, who was able to sail down to, I want to get this name right if I can, just for those of you who are sticklers, because I like some of this stuff. Cape Bojador. I don't know if I said that right. Bojador. And that was a significant milestone in the age of discoveries, you know, in terms of history, the age of discovery. I love these kinds of things, this idea of the age of discovery, because we are always in this age of discovery within our own souls and in our enlightenment about things. But it was an important milestone so that the Portuguese could begin to traverse the globe. Now, during Henry the Navigator's lifetime, they never really got around at the very tip of Africa, but to get as far as they did was monumental for them. And, you know, they didn't have the cartography that we do today of mapping things out. So they were relying on the compass with magnetic needle pointing north, the astrolabe, which they would have to line up with either the sun or the North Star with the horizon and try to gauge things that way. The usage of knots, of understanding how fast a ship was going with knots in the water so you could gauge the ship speed. All of those were things that they could navigate with in the stars. And I give them so much credit for going out into the great unknown, because in uncharted waters, things can change drastically. If you've ever been whitewater rafting or watched whitewater rafting, you know that sometimes with or without a guide, it can be very challenging because there are specific currents. And then over time, rocks can be pulled and from storms, and branches can get into the way to snag and snarl. And just the way you hit a particular of water can send you flying. And so there are a lot of the unknowns of going into places that you're not familiar with in terms of this. But to venture into it is something that into the unknown is part of the human condition. And I think back to biblical times of Moses. I mean, he's freed the slaves from Pharaoh and they go into the desert. And what happens? What happens? They have a burning light, an angel that guides them. And that was spirit, the divine, wanting to, you know, take part and help them in this next phase of life for them. But they chose to ignore a lot of the intuition and divine guidance. in many ways, biblically, historically, and they ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years. So it does come down to how much are you willing to listen to your fear, and how much are you willing to listen to your soul? Because your soul is a spark of the divine, and as such, it has unlimited potential for love and peace and joy. And that ultimately helps you to have that pure channel with spirit, whether you are, you know, a medium, a healer, someone who's interested in your spiritual journey, is something to keep in mind and remember how to go beyond what some would perceive the sea of darkness. I mean, Portugal had a lot of, they'd look out into the Atlantic Ocean and it was just roiling and roiling. So, I mean, to see that out there constantly and still want to go out is a big deal to overcome, to go beyond. And I think back to a time when I was on a biology seminar in college, and we went off the shore of Jamaica, and we were snorkeling, and we had snorkeling buddies, and my buddy left me behind. And I was like, we're always supposed to stay together, and didn't happen. And I remember surfacing and not seeing anyone in the bay at all that we were snorkeling in. No other people were surfaced, no other things. And I waited quite some time for that to occur. And I remember the fears I had that a shark would be coming, because this particular bay is where one of the James Bond movies with sharks had been filmed. So I had all of that, the understanding of what had gone before, as it were. And that it's a time where your fears can make you panic, can make you feel that life is spiraling out of control, and that you don't have anyone to rely on. I mean, we've all been in those circumstances in our life where we may have felt that we didn't always have the support we wanted in a particular situation or from a particular person or group. But it does come down to how you decide to react to that event. And I was able to kind of gather it together a bit. And I had to wait quite some time before I could spot the group again. But it is very interesting how we have those moments, and what we do in those moments has to be guided by our spirit ultimately. So we want to have a spiritual response to those situations. Now, one of the things I also wanted to mention is we've also been studying The Wind in the Willows. Now, some people love that book. Some people like, but see, I don't mind highfalutin language, as some of you know. I can be down home and say in the same time as liking some of those fancy dancy words that Kenneth Graham puts together. But that's that story of mole and water rat and toad and badger. And, you know, Kenneth Graham, he wrote that because his only child, his son, was a very difficult child. And Kenneth Graham was a successful banker in England, but he originally started telling those stories to his son, who was starting to act very much out of control and had issues. And he was able to eventually publish the stories. And it wasn't until Theodore Roosevelt got a copy of it that it really got published and started to go out into the world. Well, you know, because it's a fantastic story if you let it be. And there are a lot of beautiful lessons and understandings. But you have, in that instance, you have how Toad handles the world. Maybe you've seen the movie. Toad is an obnoxious thing because he's very boastful. He can be friendly one minute, but he's very boastful and irritating because he gets into the latest fads, trends, and he doesn't care if anything else is hurt along the way. And that is something that Kenneth Graham was trying to help with. But that is the idea of wanting to get out of the road and wanting to go do these things. And then we temper that with Rat, who lives on the river, invites Mole, who has come out of his mole den and into spring and is in the exploring mode. And Water Rat takes him in, where it teaches him about boating on the river and the pleasantries of connecting with people and all of those things. And you see a transition of seasons within that book that's very interesting to me, the idea of how the birds go south and people leave us and we don't understand why they leave us. We can't understand it one bit. And Water Rat is at one point very upset that they would even want to go elsewhere. Why would you want to go anywhere else? It's so pleasant here. The rhythms of this, we know. And then he meets a seafaring rat and he gets swept up into the exploration energy of that. All of the different sights and sounds and the vigor of being in other places and other cultures. And he becomes entranced and is starting to pack to go out onto this journey with the voyage of the sea rat when Mole says, well, what are you doing? What's going on? And he's able to refocus. But there is something in us. There are these archetypal natures within us that want to surge forth and have a journey of the self, a journey of the soul. Sometimes it's physical, bit by the travel bug, and you want to get on traveling, get on down the road, get on the river, get into the oceans and the sky. There's something in us that, with even more so with certain people, that really feel the call. And it's such an understanding of there's this place within me that I feel the love of the roots, the love of the home. And then there's the part of me that says, I want to see other places and adventure as well. So we have that going on within us that sometimes can lead us to making decisions of change within our lives, or to stay possibly in a negative circumstance, because at least we know what to expect. There's a comfort in familiarity that cannot be disregarded for some people. So I think each person has to recognize where they're at on that particular journey, because it's not all about kayaking on a glass smooth lake. Casadega Lake has a lot of those particular moments of the day that are very calm through certain seasons here in Lilydale. However, there have been times where it's been windy and blowing, and it's been a struggle to paddle against the wind. And we have these moments where we're paddling against the wind, even if we know where we're going, and we can feel that there are uncharted winds. There are these winds of change that are preventing us from moving forward the way we see. So you can see, even within all of these beautiful elements, there could be struggle and we have to persevere. And there's an acceptance of adversity that seems to be at the heart of needing to handle some of those things, an acceptance, even when we go into uncharted waters, that we have to accept that things may be adverse, difficult, challenging adversity. Now, last school year, my children and I were studying about Thor Heyerdahl and how he was doing the journey from the Pacific. He was trying to show that there were the trade winds would take you from Peru up to into the Polynesian islands. And he was able to prove that. But it's interesting how they had to really survive through difficult waters and even an uncharted space to get through that. So certain people have whatever it takes in those moments, the chutzpah, the idea of, I must do this. So when we have those moments of, I must do this, there's something that we have to accept the adversity that may come when we make a decision. And I'm remembering there's this beautiful understanding, especially in Tahiti, when they have the wayfinders. So some of you may have seen the movie Moana, and she is a wayfinder. And it's a big deal because what happened was her particular culture, in that movie at least, they hadn't been sailing for many generations, and they had kind of put their navigation of the world aside, and they were just supposed to stay on their little island. yet they're having problems. And the Moana heeds this call. There's a sense of an ancestral call to connect with not just the god, the demigod Maui, but also with herself, and feeling that guidance force of I must do this and go into uncharted waters and know that there's that place within all of us, regardless of culture, that is the wayfinder. So in this, the wayfinder, many times in that, I was reading about this that in Tahiti, that what they would do is they would say, how are you going to find home again? You're going into uncharted waters. How are you going to find home? And one of the techniques they have is that they will tell them to close their eyes and spin around until they've lost all sense of direction, like literally lose all sense of direction. This is a key point. I want to make sure it's clear for you guys. So then you turn with your eyes closed and you've been spinning around. You have no sense of direction. You have no sense at all. Now there's something within you. Turn yourself in the direction of the island. In this case, direction of home. And so you turn in direction of the island. You can turn in the direction of your destination too. So there is something that energetically connects us with spaces and places. And we understand that this is a web of existence, this tapestry of life. And here we are on this globe called Earth. And we can navigate them using the energy of our beings, that we will be pointed in the right direction. And when you're pointing your nose at the direction, then the next part of that lesson, after you spun around with your eyes closed and now you found the direction of your destination, let's say that's home, you've got it. Now, do this. Be there, go there. Be there with all your senses. Be at the island that is your destination. Taste it. Touch it. Smell it. Use all your senses. There's a beauty to that, isn't there? We use all of your senses. Now hold the island in your mind and in your senses so you do not become lost. Now hold the island in your mind and in your senses so you do not become lost. Wow. Amazing. It's so simple and so beautiful that when you are going out onto uncharted waters of your life, before you do it, take a moment and center within yourself, within your own soul. And if you have to, spin around, close your eyes, and hone in on those things. And I think it's so significant that we've been reading these things, like I said, because in the Wind of the Willows book, at one point, Mole, who had left his home, he was sprinkling his home, and then he just felt the essence of spring take him over, and he came up out of his burrow, and he eventually found Water Rat. But there's a point in the storyline when, you know, Water Rat and Mole, and there's just happy friends, and they've been out on some sort of walk, and they've been visiting with other friends. And all of a sudden, Mole knows that he smells, that his very being, that everything in him stops, and he knows where his home is. He turns, and he knows that his home is in that direction. And Rat's like, come on. Come on, Mole, we've got to get home. And I'm looking forward to, you know, sitting by the fire and having some food or whatever it is. And Mole's like, but I feel I need to go. Come on, Rat. And so because Water Rat didn't quite understand. I mean, he's focused on getting hit to his particular destination in mind. And Mole, because he really enjoys his friend, the companionship that he has with that, everything in him, he turns away from his home. And he follows Rat, and he's, you know, Rat's all of a sudden noticing in the conversation that Mole's not talking, and they come to a pause, and they start talking, and Mole's like, Rat, you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen. This is, I felt my home and you wouldn't listen. It kind of busts out of him. Like, sometimes we are like that with our relationships, and we say, you're not listening. You don't hear me. I feel called in a direction and you can't feel it too. But I feel it. We have these moments. And Rat realizes, this very good natured Rat, truly. He notices that he needs to be this for his friend now. And so he says, well, let's go find it. And so they do. Mole is, you know, followed like a bloodhound. He finds his home, you know, and he sniffs it out, and he just feels every essence of it. And then they arrive, and it's been good. It's good for him to experience home, his own space again. And so there are these little moments of things that we can read that really take us into understanding a part in our life where we set aside what we wanted because we felt somebody else needed to go in a different direction, and that can work for a while. But sometimes we have to go and follow, even if it's an uncharted water for other people, that we have to follow through in those particular ways. So yeah, it's just fascinating how this all has been merging, and I felt so guided in this particular episode to share these things with you. I hope you're enjoying the connections of those things. And certainly within the unconscious, water as a symbol is representative of the unconscious, and going into the recognition of, we have to look at the unknown. And, you know, there have been explorers the world over. I mean, think about the Vikings. They went all kinds of places. It's really, when you look at, they went to America. They in their particular boats, in their particular way, they could feel that there was another place, and they would hit that water running, so to speak. So a lot of cultures have this in them. But it's a human condition of looking beyond the so-called normal or so-called surface of the water. And I just as another fun reference for those of you who have seen the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, the ones with Jack Sparrow, Johnny Depp is Jack Sparrow, and you got, Keira Knightley, and somebody else will help me with the other, Orlando Bloom. Anyway, they're in those, a lot of great Jeffrey Rush, all those kind of fun characters, the Pirates of the Caribbean. And so we've got Jack Sparrow, which is either a very good or very bad pirate, depending on who you are. And he gets his hands on a compass. Now, Jack Sparrow's compass is no ordinary compass. And those of you who know the movie know what I'm talking about. A normal compass, the needle will point in the direction of magnetic north. But rather than doing that, Jack Sparrow's compass points the owner of the compass to what they want most. The compass points to what you want most. Wow. We have that too. We have something in us that says, what do you want most? Now, for some people, that's going to lead them into indulgences. For some people, that's going to lead them on a journey. For some people, that's going to lead them into love. For some people, that's going to lead them into service to others. For some people, it's going to be development of their soul and their mediumship, their healing. What is it that you want most? Because I do feel that compass is representative of ourselves too. and what we decide we want most, what we are aligning. And as spiritualists, we understand a spiritual natural law of attraction, a law of resonance, that we resonate with that which is our own vibrational frequency, but also the things that we are in alignment, that what we attract. So I think that you have to remember, if you're going into these uncharted waters, that it's about accepting adversity. If I had to sum some of this up, acceptance of adversity, acceptance that you may be called to go somewhere else that other people are not going. That you have to accept the fact that in you, there is a way finder. There is within you a place, even if you are geographically challenged, which I tend to be. My husband has a real good sense of geography. Even if, I'll point the wrong way to one of the local towns and be like, nope, it's in the other direction. But there's something that I'm good at finding. And so when I'm doing public mediumship, I pause a moment. And I say, Spirit, where are you directing me? And then they turn me in a direction and I know that I need to go there. And then boom, it's very immediate. There's a place in all of us that can connect and be the wayfinder in certain ways in our life. What is your way? How do you want to find out the way that you are a wayfinder? Do you? Have you already? Put those in the comments. Is that something that's truly of interest to you? And how do you respond to the wayfinder within you? That the compass points where you want what you want most in your life? Or are you going to be so in the fear, that sabotaging fear of the sea of darkness? So what an amazing thing to think of, how we merge with the divine consciousness. And I'll leave you with another last final thought with this. And it's to understand that God, along our journey and along our path, really is our co-pilot. The divine is our co-pilot. And so from Psalms 139:9, we have, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So on this plane of existence, God's spiritual idea is upheld by his omnipotent love, with the divine's understanding. So there can't be any defects in it, because we could always come down, but we can never truly fall down, because underneath are the everlasting arms. So it's impossible to fall out of the divine's love, out of the divine's care and the divine's power. It's impossible. And our course is straight and true if we let it be. And I love the fact that God's spiritual radar is always working, and that we can always be on that beam of living light. So there's that wayfinder in us that sees the beam of light of the path. And maybe we can only see a little bit of that path, but eventually we can see a little longer and a little longer, and we have to step with a good measure of faith. And that no mist or rain or fog or weather can confuse our journey, confuse our flight. That the weather is always God's weather in many ways, and we don't ever drift away from God's care. It's hard to think of that sometimes when we feel that we're in the midst of those moments, but we can be guided safely and securely. It's a state of being that we enter into, of recognition of the divine. And I love the understanding that when we look at the ocean, as much as I've had my own fear things that have happened with the ocean, there's a part of me that understands that there is an ocean of love, that there is a divine force that's guiding me in my life and in your life along these uncharted pathways, along into the uncharted waters, so that we can really be working on a spiritual plane and imbued with the wisdom and the intelligence, the infinite intelligence of divine mind. So whether you're going through different things in your life that you're navigating, or whether you just needed a bit of inspiration today, I hope that it helps you in this moment or a moment in the future when you are facing uncharted waters in your life, that you remember that God is your co-pilot, that you are a wayfinder, that your compass will point you to that which is the truth if you let it. I wish you so much joy along the journey. And even in those moments of adversity, which we know may come, that we also find peace in those moments, an inner strength that meets those moments, that says, I am more than this perception. I am more than this body. I am a soul. Thank you, everyone, for your kind attention today. And I'll see you next week on Wednesdays with Willow, and I'll have another great topic and guest. You be well. God bless. Bye-bye.